Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Gimel, and we got all the way up to the Halakha Mishnah. I wanted to read you something that we ran out of time yesterday, but that was Nogea the Sugya that we were talking about, which was the what is considered to be the Tayal Anim, and that was the argument that I was so upset about. How can you call people that are learning Torah and that they're coming back late at night? How can you call them people that have time for all of this game playing? And the pasuk that the Gemara brought was the way the Gemara brought it and understood it was reference to people who stay up at the office. You know, shavlecha mashkimekum, you guys who get up early or you stay there late at night. And what are you doing? You're echler lechem atzabim, keni ten lidido, and so on and so forth, right? But there's a fascinating taz that I thought was kedai to mention, which is that the shavlecha mashkimekum is really, it's pretty chutzpah of the taz. But apparently, I guess he got into some kind of machloket. Remember, there's like a whole approach, you know, that the idea of Limud HaTorah has to be, like the Mishnah says, Pat b'melach tochal, and so on and so forth, right? The Maim b'misrat tishteh. So there's a whole question. Does that mean that this is the derech? Or does it mean even this is the derech, right? So the Pashta says many people, like it says, there's so many sugyas that say that the whole Rina Shel Torah and Rina Shel Torah l'balayla, and so on and so forth. And so Mimela, what they do is they make Siddurim and they stay up all night learning and so on and so forth. And the Taz used to get a good night's sleep. So the question was, you know, are you supposed to get a good night's sleep? So basically, the Taz taina that the Rambam who paskins the Bechol Drachecha De'ehu, and that it's possible to get just as much schar from eating as it is from being misane. Because he brings the example of somebody's going to eat in order to have keyach, to be able to be Eved Hashem, and so on. So, nimtza Eved es Hashem. And the Rambam brings the same thing is true about sleeping. The person is sleeping, and he's sleeping in order to be strong and to be able to be Eved Hashem. So then, nimtza, that his shena is an aveda lamaka. So the Taz wants to put it into this pasuk, which is, whoa. That the shavlecha mashkimekum is referring to talmidei chachamim who stay up all night. And the pasuk is saying, you think you're going to get more schar just because you're going without sleep, you know. Ochel lechem atzabim, you're eating miserably, you don't have anything, and you think this is the only way to do it. But l'maisa ken yitain li yedido shena, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for those that are korov to him. So he'll give them double the amount of learning because they'll have a clear head and they'll be able to concentrate better as long as their entire intent is to be Eved HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be able to be learning more. I'll read you his lashon, which is really very, very powerful. So he says, Yesh tamidei chachamim minadadin shena me'enehem v'oskim b'torah harbe. V'yesh tamidei chachamim shirshenim harbe. Dainu mish yashan harbe kedei sheyechazek mocho b'torah. When az noten lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu chalko b'torah, kumo oto shememayin p'shino mitzayir atzmo. Ki hakol oleich achar hamachshava. Now this was the Rambam's bringing Bechol Drachecha De'ehu. That is an amazing thing. I mean, in light of the way the Gemara was being mefarish, that he should actually go and say that the pasuk is referring also to Talmidei Chacham is pretty amazing. But anyway, being as I interrupted before we get to start the Mishnah,
he's asking, where's the Taz?
What's that in Evan Ezra? It's time, I think, because I started with that, so now we can look at the Mishnah as being in the middle of the daf, which gives us an opportunity to hear the famous words, from our own Capitan, if he can figure out how to get himself off a mute. There we go. Amazing. Thank you. So now, I see we need to give him a little bit more warning so he can practice, but it was okay. So now we're going to move on to the interrelationship of the aspects that are there in the Ketuva, and somebody, thank you. The aspects that are in the Ketuva that have to do with the finances and how they interrelate with the overall chiyuvim. So let's say that one of the other partners, he or she, doesn't perform according to what the itchavut is in the Ketuva. So the question is this, is the Ketuva sort of an all or nothing document? In other words, in the event that all of the things that are written over there that I am doing, so then I give you this Ketuva and that's what I owe you in the event of divorce. Same thing for her. In the event that you divorce me, meaning that this Ketuva was in fact Chala on me, and I performed according to the understandings of what it is that I am Mukhayeva to do in terms of the Ketuva. What happens if that doesn't work out and they're not doing for each other what they promised to do? So does that, what does it do? Does it cancel the Ketuva? If he gives her a get, does he no longer need to give her a Ketuva? And how about if he's been abusive towards her? Does the Ketuva change because of the way that he's acted? And now the Ketuva itself is used as a mode of ensuring performance. Now look, this is a whole new idea. In other words, the fact that the Ketuva is a chiyuv, until now we saw, is an insurance, so to speak, against maltreatment and against taking advantage of a woman and not owing her anything and Stam being able to easily divorce her. That was the simple level of the Ketuva. But there is more, it turns out, in this Mishnah, in that the Ketuva actually changes in value based on the performance of the partners. So that if a man does not give his wife what he promises her, which we'll see, her Ketuva is going to go up every day. And if a woman does not do what she promises to do in a Ketuva, her Ketuva goes down every day. So this is a whole new issue, because now the Ketuva becomes a daily question, not only the question upon divorce, but rather how do we view the performance? So the Mishnah begins with the obvious issue. If a woman refuses relationships with her husband, which we'll see, this is certainly the minimal level of hamored. So hamored et al ba'ala. So a woman who refuses relations for her husband, and we'll see that it's talking about specifically in terms of punishment. So in other words, it's not that she says, I can't stand the guy, I want out of this marriage, it's impossible for me to sleep with him. She says, no, I want him as a husband, I'm going to teach him a lesson. Now, he thinks that he can do whatever he wants, and so on, right? So that's considered to be a moredet. So now, this is a straight-out rebellion, and we'll see the same thing is in the inverse, if he says the same thing about her. So hamoredet abala, pochatin la miktuvata shiv'a dinarim b'shabbat. Her ketuva goes down one dinner per day, seven dinner per week. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, shiva trafikin, which are half dinarim. And ad matayu pochet. So, okay, I mean, basically, if she's going to be losing her ketuva. And it's not that he's just going to give her a divorce. I mean, he has the ketuva now as a modality of punishment, basically, right? I mean, he's telling her, look, don't think that I'm just going to give you a divorce. You're going to walk out of here with your ketuva, you know? We'll keep discussing this until you don't even have a ketuva. And therefore, he can keep on going. But how long can he keep on going? Ad matay opochei? Ad keneged ketuvata. He cannot go beyond the value of the ketuva together with the tosefet. So let's say that there was also property that she brought into the marriage in terms of nichsei malug. This doesn't work as a way to actually take money away from her. The only thing it works as is to take away the rewards that he owes her in the event that he divorces her. But if she has nichsei malug, or she inherits money after the wedding, which is the same as the nichsei malug, it's not written up in the ketuva as nichsei tzon barzel, so then he can't obviously, actively take away her own money. Rabbi Yossi Omer, that's not true. He doesn't have to give her a divorce. He can keep deducting from her ketuvah even if there's no money to cover it. So that in the event that, let's say, she would actually inherit money, he can go after that money. So he'll say, you know, it's been 5 years, seven trafikim or seven dinarim a week, you know, that adds up to all your inheritance over here. I'm going to take that. So that means that according to Rabbi Yossi, it's actually an active knas that can be used against her. To the point where he could create a debt against her, where he can even collect money that will come in later. The same thing is true of Hamored al Ishto. Somebody who does not give his wife what he promises her is in the same situation. And he too has to start adding to her ketuvah. However, interestingly enough, he does not add the same amount. He adds shlosha dinarim b'shabbat instead of shiva dinarim b'shabbat. The Gemara is going to discuss why that is true. However, in the Yerushalmi, as Tosis brings over here, there's a very interesting approach, which obviously our Gemara doesn't hold up, and that each one of the melachot that she was chayavot to her husband, we had the seven melachot that were listed in the previous Mishnah, so as a remez to each one of her duties that she's refusing to be involved in, we're konis her one dinner. And he, on the other hand, is chayav and sheirak suta v'onata. So that's three things. So for him, it's three, and for her, it's seven. Our Gemara doesn't hold that, and we'll see how the Gemara later will explain the difference. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shlosha trapikin, the same thing is true of the inverse. When we're taking him and increasing what he's going to have to pay her, if he is a moreid al ishto, by the way, I just want you to notice that the idea is the same in terms of moredet or moreid. People use that word moredet to be a putting down of women. You know, so there she is, rebellious against her husband, as if she's, you know, a little child that's supposed to do whatever her husband says. She's moredet. The same exact lashon is used on the man. The idea of moredet or moreid has nothing to do with whether somebody's in charge. It has to do with what your own commitments were to the relationship. That's the point. And it's exactly the same of his commitments to her as it is of her commitments to him. And the bad taste that people create for, oh, she's a moredet. It's like such an incredibly medieval way of looking at a woman. It's exactly the same then of a moreid. He's moreid al ishto. Okay, but anyway, what exactly, asked the Gemara, is the merida about? I mean, you haven't explained. Moredet mi mai. So Rav Huna says, look, the whole thing is about sex. Moredet says mitashmish hamita. She refuses to be intimate with him. And that is the concept of a merida of a woman. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina says, it's about milacha. It's about the commitments that she made to be taking care of the home. And she's not doing her job. I don't know, usually puts me between Akiva and Gavi. Today something's wrong, but all right. We can still, from afar, we can still say L'chaim, right? Okay, now, the question is, what does the Mishnah mean when it says, V'chein ha-moreid al-ishto? So, Bishlama, if you understand that we're going like Rav Huna, so that the issue of merida is mitashmish hamita, which would make it the same. In other words, she is moredet from issues of intimacy, and he is moredet from the same issues. So then everything is the same, because the male has the same chiyuv to her, not more, and she has to him. And if you're calling merida about intimate relations a merida, so then the Mishnah makes sense. She's a moredet and he's a moreid. And we're using it in precisely the same fashion. So then the Mishnah is setting this up as a juxtaposition of v'chein hu. Makes a lot of sense because it's all the same. But what about according to the Man Yomar, who says that it's about milacha? I mean, where do we have an issue of milacha? Oh, we do indeed. Absolutely. It's talking about where he goes ahead and he says, "Eini zan ve'eini mifarnes." I am not going to be providing food and clothing for my wife, and therefore she's considered to be a moredet by not doing the work that she promised to do, then he is considered to be moreid by not doing the work that he promised to do. Now, this, by the way, is a fascinating question. Listen to this. This is absolutely amazing. It's Rabbeinu Eliyahu over here that's brought into us a big discussion in the poskim about this. Remember that the lashon of the ksuva is va'ana eflach v'izon, that I am going to work and provide your parnasah, and so on and so forth, right? So, okay, so apparently if he says, look, you know, I don't want to take a job, I don't have any money, but you promised you're going to work. So Rabbeinu Eliyahu says from here, so you see from here that Lamaisa, you would be mechuyev to take a job. So the way he puts it is, you'd have to go become a Rebbe and a cheder if you don't have any skills, you know? That's the example that he uses. You know, mikan hochiach Rabbeinu Eliyahu shechayev adam laskir atzmo lelamed tinokot o lasot melacha acheret. Right? Amazingly, the halacha lemaisa is, as many of the Rishonim taina, ana eflach does not mean chas v'sholom, I would rent myself out to someone. Can you imagine? Take a job in which I'm working for another person? Who would be mechayev himself such an awful thing? The most that ana eflach means that I will work. If I have a piece of land, I'm going to work. I'm going to cultivate. I'm going to do whatever I do in my own area, whatever it is. But I never, anybody wouldn't be machayev himself to take a job, to be a servant. Absolutely not. It's like a totally different social take. I'm like, what does it mean when somebody is going to be machayev himself to lead a life in which he's going to be capable of being mefarnes a family? So we take for granted, you know, you're going to have a job somewhere. No, so take yourself a 9-to-5 job. And you hear the Rishonim say, nobody would be mechayev themselves such a thing. Okay. Anyway, so I just thought it was a fascinating aside. Some of the cultural asides that are in the Gemara over here about the nature of marriage, relationship, living, work, and so on and so forth, they're really so amazing. Okay, so anyway, that would be what it would be talking about. And if that's the case, it would still be a juxtaposition. She doesn't do the work she promised to do, and he doesn't do the work that he promised to do in terms of support, right? Now, I mean, obviously, if you hold that the din is that she could always say that I don't want your support, you know, and I will do my own work for myself, and that would mean that she doesn't have to work for him. So then, Bapashas, that would explain why we don't say malacha. However, there's a big machlokas we've shown him about whether in the opt-out position that we discuss, you can always opt out of a takana that is made for your benefit, whether opting out would be from everything, or opting out would only be the specific issue of the income of the work that she's doing, as opposed to the other things that she's supposed to be doing in the home. Maybe she can't opt out from that. So in terms of doing the wash and then doing the floors for Gavi, or in doing the cooking or whatever, so in that maybe it wouldn't be possible to opt out. Tosis also brings the other question, which he argues with Rashi, about whether the ideas of the intimate things that she does, so that, you know, to wash him down in the bath, or to make the beds, in the simple meaning of making the beds, and so on, whether those are in Kurashi. Remember, he understood that that was just an Eitzah Teva, that it's good for a woman to always do that, no matter how much is Yoshevet Pikatedra, because that is part of the sense of love and intimacy in a marriage. But Tosis learns that this is actually a Chiev, in which case the question would be, on those things, Lechora, for sure, she can't potter herself from opting out, because those are personal things, intimate things. But does it suggest that that would not be enough to be called a moreda? The moreda would be only on those things that are mentioned in the ksuva. Things that are not mentioned in the ksuva, Lechora, you certainly can't use the ksuva as a weapon. Okay, anyway, getting back to it, So now the question is, according to what Rav says, is that someone who says such a thing, and he says, "Eini zan ve'eini mifarnes," he doesn't have an option that we say, we have patience with him, and we say, okay, well, you're going to increase your ksuva every day, and you're going to end up paying her more. We bash the guy over the head, and he has to be motzier on the spot. He has to divorce her, and he has to pay her ksuva. So what is all of this business that we add per week? I mean, I understand. For how long are we going to be adding per week? Well, we're going to let him abuse her in this fashion, and all he has to do is worry about adding to the ksuva. We're ultimately, in the event that he decides to die or to divorce her, he's going to pay her more. That's no answer. Answers the Gemara, not, well, you're 100% right. But does Rav necessarily mean, however, that this wouldn't apply? You're saying, Yotzi v'yiten ksuva. So what does that mean? We don't talk to him about it? We don't call him in and say, listen, what's going on? We don't call in a psychologist. We don't call in a social worker. We don't attempt to fix things up. The first thing we do is, oh, they're not getting along. Pow. You should give a get and everything else. Of course, there's still going to be some patience involved in attempting to figure out what can be done for this tragedy, right? So during that time, he doesn't get away with anything. During that time, he is being mosif on the ksuva the whole time. That's all. But doesn't necessarily mean that we're not going to force him to take care of her. Meitve. Problem is, the Braita says like this, that this idea of a moredet, achatli, I don't give a hang what the situation is. I don't care if she is an arusa. And of course, an arusa, what do you mean? I mean, how could you be a moreda? She's not even allowed to be sleeping with him. It means an arusa who refuses to get married. So in other words, she says, well, I'm not going to the chuppah. I've changed my mind. This is after she already took the erisin. So then that would be a moreda. Or if she's an isua, or even if she's a nida, or if she's sick, or if she's a shomeret yavam and she refuses to go ahead and do the yibum. Now, look. I mean, the braita works out if you're telling me that we're talking about melacha. Yes. But if we're talking about the merida is from anything that has to do with intimacy, anida, I understand. Anida is not about tashmish. So she anyway wouldn't be allowed to be intimate with her husband. So how could we say achasli nida? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. She's asura to be with her husband. So in what sense is she a moredes? Amalach. Obviously, that Mandi Omar would say to you, what are you talking about? Or the guy himself could say to you, Eina doma mishi yeshlo pat pesela la mishi einlo. The merida doesn't have anything to do with the current situation. You're going to say, I'm going to say to the guy, you know, well, she says she doesn't want to have any kind of sex with you. And anyway, you never bother with her until a month has passed. So what do you care? There's no such thing, because the idea over here is about the nature of a relationship that is open to intimacy. And the moment that she says she's not open, like we said before, there's an immediate impact, which is the idea of the pat pesela. The person loses the type of relationship that would be, in fact, satisfying intimacy. Then that itself is immediately a psychological blow. And that's the point. Ikari amri. Now, I have to say that this entire piece is apparently a mistake, right? And this is the reason that it's taken out over here by the Marshal, because later on we're going to have this. So all the way up to the words Ika di Amre doesn't appear here in the correct Girsaot. It's clearly not in Rashi. And the including the words Ika di Amre, which don't belong here, the correct Girsa starts now. Bish, lama lamandi amre mitash bish. That it's the exact opposite. Not that we were asking, how do you explain the Nida if it's talking about Tashmish, but rather, sorry, but I don't have an empty cup like that to drink from, Rabarnea, so I'll have to pass on it. But I'll make a look. On the ball, Rabarnea, on the ball. Okay. So the correct girsa would be that we're asking the other way around, not from Tashmish, because we take that for granted. Later on, we'll talk about it. So Bishlam Amandi Omer Bitashmish. I understand That's why it says, even if she's sick, right? Because just because she's sick doesn't mean that she cannot have relations with him. But if you're telling me that the issue has to do with Malacha, I mean, if she's sick, I understand. So she says she can't work. So why are we calling her Ruila Malacha? Chola bat Malacha. You're right, says the Gemara. Of course it means also Tashmish. What you think? You think that Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina held that it's not called Merida from Tashmish? He was adding. He was saying even Malacha. That's the point. Mitashmish, everybody is Merida. Kuli amalo pligi that that's called Merida. Ki pligi mi Malacha? Ravuna holds Malacha is not called a moredet at all, because as Tosis explains, he holds that the din is that a woman can opt out. So therefore, if she says, I'm not going to be doing, then basically she's opting out and she has a right to opt out. So the machlokas, therefore, only between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Chanina here with Rav Huna is whether Malacha is also considered. That's the point. So Rav Huna holds only the issue of merida from intimacy. But Malacha lo havi moredet, as Mashenka and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, he holds that even from Malacha, that's also considered to be a moredet. And again, according to Tosfos, because he holds that you don't have the opting out option if the Rabbanim made the takana for you, because it's not just about making sure that you have enough to eat. It's about the nature of the relationship of a man and woman in a marriage. So to say that we'll have different bank accounts and I'll have my salary and you'll have your salary is itself a pigiyah in the type of relationship. And therefore, it isn't a matter of kola omri efshili bitakanat chachamim is able to opt out. You can easily see the two inyanim being very different. Gufa. Anyway, getting back to that bright. I mean, we just quoted part of that bright before, the part about Achatli, the Muretzet, the Suat, so on and so forth. Let's take a look at it a little bit more in detail. Gufa. So it starts off with saying, Hamoredet al Ba'ala, Pochatin la Miktuvata, Shiva Dinarim B'Shabbat. It starts off with paraphrasing the Mishnah. And Reb Yehuda Omer Shiva Trapikim. Now, here we are introduced to a completely new issue, which is a development in time. Because later on, Rabotenu Chazru, at a later time, they went and made a different takana. Namely, that this protracted and painful over the course of years. I mean, the way we're talking about in the Mishnah, I mean, if she's got a big suva with a big tosefet, I mean, so then this guy could just be torturing her for years. You know, she's a moredet. We're not doing anything about the relationship. We're going to be having the social workers sitting here and working for years while she is losing her suva. We're not offering her anything, and we're not doing anything to end this tragedy, you know. So they ended up saying this is not a good approach. Instead, the din of a moredet was taken to be able to create a psychological pressure to make a decision. So what did they do? They changed it to shiyu machrizina le'arba shabbatot zo achar zo, that there should be a public announcement in the Beit HaKnesset that this woman, as extremely embarrassing, that this woman is moredet al ba'ala. And before we do such a thing, we send her, of course we send her a social worker, but we also warn her. Havi yodat shafilu k'tuvatech me'amana. I don't give a hang if you have $1 million k'suva. If you don't respond to this and try to make up with this guy, so then you're going to be mafsid your entire k'suva, not 7 a week. And now starts the part of the price that we already saw before. And achasli, I don't care whether we're talking about an aruso who refuses to get married or an nesua who refuses to have relations with him. I don't care if she's a nida. I don't care if she's sick. I don't care if she's a shomeres yavam. Now, let's now understand. Here's where the Gemara brings up what was wrongly brought as the girsa earlier, in which Amalei Reb Chiya Bar Yosef Lishmuel, a nida? Is a nida bat tashmishi that she would be considered to be achatzli nida, that she's considered to be moreda? This is not a little weird. And Shmuel said to him, eino doma mishi yesh lo pat besalo, le mishi ein lo pat besalo. So here is where that appeared, and somehow it was put into the gears of the Gemara earlier. Omer Rami Bar Chama. First of all, this does not mean that there's a public, you know, like they do nowadays with these paskvilin, as they call them in Yiddish, are putting up terrible things about people on these signs and they write them up. And Chas v'Shalom, it means only in the Beit HaKnesset, the Beit HaMidrash, in Machrizina la'ele b'bat HaKnesset or b'at HaMidrashot. We're not attempting to turn her into a piece of dirt publicly, but we want to present her with an option to stop misbehaving and to save herself the problem of the loss of her ksuva and the embarrassment. Come back to your senses and let's try to work this out. So, Omar Rava, you could see that that's the case because it says, Arba Shabbatot, Zoach HaZo. So the Shabbatot, why Dafkan Shabbatot? Because that's the only time that people are found. Barabim and the Bate Kresiot, the Bate Midrashot. So therefore, it's Dafkan Shabbos, not in any other time. Shema Mino, then indeed, it's not something that is out in the Shuk. Omar Rami Bar Chama, furthermore, I want to clarify something over here. And that is that this message from Beis Din comes before we do anything like this, before there's any type of hachraza, so that she's warned about it. So, pa'amayim shochin la bibeit din. One of them is before the hachraza, and the other one is after the hachraza to tell her about the next step of the loss of her ksuva and giving her a get. Darash Rav Nachman bar of Chisda, halacha k'rabotenu. And that's the way that it's correct to do, not the way that we have in the Mishnah, which is a prolonged agony, but rather to do what was said in later generations. Amar Rava, come off it, man. Hi, Burcha, that's junk. What kind of psak is that? Amalei Renach, by Yitzchak, excuse me, junk? Ha! What's junky about it? I'm the one who said it, and I'm the one who taught him it, and you're telling me it's junk? And I said it not in my own name. I was quoting a very great man, Mishmei de Gavra Rav Amrita. I'm talking about Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, and you call it junk? So what? This is how Rashi understands this piece. Why did Rava call it junk, actually? So, I mean, who is he going according to? What's wrong with this sack? The Yukaman Svira, he holds Kiyodi Omar, like he said himself, the name of Rav Sheshes, that the halacha is that Nimlochim Ba, we try to delay a divorce because we try to utilize the social services. What you're doing is you're making a frontal confrontation. That's what you're doing. You're giving her 4 weeks to change her mind after she's been put directly into the spotlight. And obviously that does not make it easier for her to change her mind and to work things out. And you've made it impossible to have any type of reconciliation. I mean, this is not the way to do things. And therefore, that's why I say it's junk. Because Rav Sheshes says, we want to provide, the whole point in the original Mishnah is that we were giving a long time with slowly increasing pressures, nothing that would be frontal, and it wouldn't be public, and we would be using the social services, which, of course, is the Rabbonim, and that's where this whole idea of Shalom Bayis comes from today, which is so abused. But anyway, therefore, it doesn't make sense to take the idea of pushing things like that into a four-week thing. So we're Nimlachim Ba. And therefore, I mean, we can't just be Nimlachim Ba and there are no consequences. So that's the point. The Mishnah is saying there's gradual consequences, but we have time to work it out. And it's not like all or nothing. Ravuna Bar Yehuda Amar Rav Sheshes is that the halacha is that Ein Nimlachim Ba. We use Dafka the second approach, which came out in time after the Mishnah. And we don't follow Rav and Rav Sheshes. We follow Rav Nachman. And the later takanas that it's a waste of time once things have reached this point to torture people into trying to get together again under pressure like this. Forget about it. We have this one opportunity. That's it. You don't want to be together and forget it. So therefore, Rava was going a libid of Rav Sheshes. Fine. We have two approaches in Reb Sheshes. Review and Bar Yehuda said the Reb Sheshes agreed Davka with Reb Nachman. Rava was going according to the way he was Makabel from Reb Sheshes. Who knows whether there wasn't a change maybe in the Das of Reb Sheshes in time. Now, when you're talking about a Moredet, what do we mean by a Moredet? Omer and Mema were talking about a case where the woman says that I'm doing this to punish my husband. That's the pshat of Moredet. A Moredet is not someone who is put into an untenable position psychologically, and because of that, we're going to force her to face the consequences. It's not about that. It's about her own announcement that I am basically out to get my husband. Okay, so that's a whole different issue. So she says, no, I want him as a husband. I don't want him to give me a get, but I want to give him a little bit of pain, you know? But if she says, look, I can't stand him. I can't be with him. How can you ask me to be intimate with someone that disgusts me? So if she says that, Omra Moisalai, so then lo kaifinan lo. We're not going to force her to stay with a man and delay her get and so on. And okay, fine. I mean, she doesn't get a ksuva because that's good for what she's saying. Look, I don't give a hang about my ksuva, you understand? I am tortured by being with this guy. Just get me out of here. No ksuva, no marriage. That's the point. Okay, so then the Rambam takes this to mean, and together with the Rif, actually paskins that when we say lo kaifinan la, what we will do is we will force him to give a get. And that way, if she says she cannot go on like this, so then that would mean that she always has a way out. And that's very interesting. I want to read you a fascinating recent teshuvah, relatively recent, from the Shevet Levi, about exactly a case like this. So the husband was refusing to give a get. And the Rambam of the Rif says, you can force him to give a get. So anyway, the family wrote to Shevet Levi that he should put on the pressure to force the guy to give the get. And he wrote back like this. He said that kibalti michtav, I got from both of you, and then that they asked me what we can do over here. Baal v'ishto, lamitalu v'nifredu zemizeh. Anyway, they haven't been getting along. They've been away from each other for months at a time. They've been separated. And kol shadlanut laviyam yachad olu betohu. They've tried all of the social things and the social workers. Nothing has worked. V'hi kvar mo'eset bo, she's disgusted. She can't stand it. And he is not giving her a get to maginota. Do I hold that it's okay to force a get? So he writes as follows. Me'odi inyan chamur hazeh. I have never been willing to get involved in these kinds of situations. And I'll tell you why. That's our daf. So everybody knows the halacha lemaisa argument about this, im b'mois alai, kofino to legaresh or not. What does the sugya mean? That it's true that the Rambam and the Rif says that it means mamish kofim, him, to give the get. The problem is, writes the Shevet Levi, that hora'ah yatzah l'chol Yisrael, the loka Rambam, the perek yudal v'ishas, the loka Rif, that people that are semech on that sheet of the Rambam, we actually will cancel the get that was forced because we don't rely on it as a kofen asarachi omerotzani. Why? Because a get that was forced shalokadin is not a get, in which case she would still be an ashes ish. And therefore, the hora has now been mekubal, that we cannot force the get. Ela kirabinu tam, for the inmate. That what it means is that she has no responsibilities to him. If she's disgusted by him, she can walk out on him, and she's not mechuyevet to stay with him, but it doesn't mean that we'll force him to give a get. And that's the problem. V'da'aka, that's my problem. Because then, shuv nichnas hakfiya begeda get muse. So then you're going to be talking about a get that was forced on someone shelo kedin. in which case she remains an Eishes Ish. What are we going to do? Be mater an Eishes Ish Leila? Unless there's very special cases, the Konsimoto Amasav, yes, you could be Marchikimoto Amasav, but you can't force him to write a get. You could throw him out of shul. You could be Mafar. You could do all kinds of terrible things, but you can't force him literally to give a get. But it's lo bikvia with the particular end of either you give a get or we. You don't say those words, either you give a get or. You just are mefarsim the way that he's abusing his wife and so on. Because look, the bottom line is that obviously that's not kaifin and leget, because the yochel archik nadad, the loyd starech lachnis atzmo bezeh. Of course, it's no longer true. But in those even recent days of the Shevet Levi, this guy can always move to some other community, and who's going to know what the heck is going on? He doesn't have to get involved. So obviously, the intent of those kinds of social pressures are not meant to force a get. It's a horrible situation that this is what our Avenes of Klal Yisrael has brought us to. And this is awful. And even your point that we should be Mechayevim, because otherwise he's not going to be Mechayim Piri of Arivia. He goes on to explain that Bisman Hazeh, we're not Kaifin on Piri of Arivia. The only time that we find anything that is similar to Kaifin is after 10 years, where a person can have children. Whether then we're Kaifin, I say, to take another wife, and so on and so forth. But Benatayim, all that I can say is, Al Kopanim Chachamim Vitzadikim Yasu Kitov Beneim Lashpia Alav Bidvorim Rakim or Bidvorim Kashim. I don't want to write too much about this, because any small mistake in these issues is catastrophic. And therefore, I keep my nose out of it. I just don't know enough about what to do. So all of this is mamish. This is the sugya that we're dealing with right here on this daf. Marzutra says, even if she says, it's disgusting to me, kaifinanla. Now, there's another issue, which I haven't explained to you, as to why we would not actually force him to give again in the sense of kaifina. And that's because we don't trust her. And this is what Tosfos says. Tosfos says, it's easy for a woman to say that I'm disgusted by him. But how do we know that she's really disgusted by him? How do we know that all she's trying to do is to get a get so she can make off with some lover somewhere? I mean, the fact is that nowadays it is so common for people to just want to get out of a marriage because the next door neighbors turn them on, that we can't give her a paddle to walk into Besdin and therefore to force a get just by saying, this is how I feel. How do we know this is how you feel? Why should we believe that this is how you feel? And so on. And therefore, that itself would undermine the whole nature of marriage, of just because now she decides she wants to be sleeping with someone else, so therefore she'll be able to cancel her marriage, so to speak. Okay, so you can understand and there's a lot of Gemaras that talk about that exact kind of problem. So that's Tosfos' issue, which is Rabbeinu Tam, that he mentioned that we have to worry about the Rabbeinu Tam, v'de'ime. Okay, and l'chora, we have a raya to what Marzutra says, in which we will actually force her, meaning that we'll get into the knas of her ketuva jazz, and that is a kaifina. And Ava Yuvda, there was a maisa like this, where a woman said, I'm disgusted by him, and Marzutra actually forced them to remain together, utilizing the ketuva issue in the Mishnah, and which was the way that originally it was done. And guess what happened? They ended up having a child. You know who that child was? That was Rabbi Chanina Misura. Rabbi Chanina Misura is one of the greatest Gedolim. Believe me, that if they would have been in a state of hating each other, you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given them a child like that? We know that having relations with hatred gives you children that are disgusting children. However, says the Gemara, that's ridiculous. You know, you don't bring riots from such things. I mean, so siyata d'shmaya, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them special siyata d'shmaya, that nonetheless they had relations with each other. So he gave them this child, but what does that prove? You use voodoo to prove a halacha? What's the matter with you? Okay, so they had siyata d'shmaya to have a wonderful child. Now, what's interesting is that Reb Zvid's own kala, she did this. She claimed that her husband was disgusting. Not that she was a moredet. And Havitvisa Chachira, she had still one of her beautiful pieces of expensive pieces of clothing that she had brought in as part of her ksuva, but these are bila'ot. Bila'ot means that at the time, even the nechassim that were written in nechassim, on barzel, and so on, that is given to her if there's something left. Those are called bila'ot. Remember, we spoke about this before when we were talking back in Yevamis about whether a woman who goes and takes another husband, relying on the fact that her husband is dead, does she get bila'ot? So over here, Rav Zvid's daughter-in-law had bila'ot. She had one dress that was still left. Yosef Amimar Mazut of Ravashi. So they were all sitting together in the Besdin. And Rav Gamda was sitting in front of the Besdin. Yosef Rav Gamda Gabayu. And they said, Marda, Ifsida bila'otei akayamim, that a woman who refuses to sleep with her husband not only loses her ksuva, she even loses the tzon barzel that is still around, which is a tremendous chumrah. So Rav Gamda was horrified, and Rav Gamda said to them, Mishum de Rav Zvid gavra rabba, machnefita lei. I understand Rav Zvid is a great man, but what, you're going to give a psak halacha that he should get away with this, which is against the din, and you're going to force her to give back the bila'ot because it's his daughter-in-law, and that's disgusting. The Amar of Kahana, Rava himself had a whole shaila about whether a woman loses her bila'ot, and he was not pashut. And you're going to go, and you're going to actively take away something from her where we do not have a psak halacha that she's supposed to actually give it over. Now, Ikari Amri, others say that in the Besdin they paskined just the opposite. In the Besdin they paskined Marda lo ifsida bila'otei akayamin. If they're leftovers from her tzon barzel, she does not lose them. And in this version, Rav Gamda said to them, you know, just because the one who's involved in this case is our beloved colleague, Rav Zvid, and Rav Zvid is such an adam gadol that he doesn't care whether you do the wrong thing against him. And he is such a tzaddik, he accepts what you'll say, and he's not going to complain, and he's not going to argue with you because he feels he's an ageh bedavar, and he's a big onev. So because of that, you take advantage of saying something where anybody else would have brought all kinds of riots against you, and that you're all wrong. And because of that, you say, okay, after all, Rav Zvid's a nice guy, well, let's mess him over. Is that what you're doing? So because of that, you give him the wrong din? Didn't Rav Kahana say, mi boy boy la rava velo pashit? That it's not at all clear. You have no right to take it away. And, because maybe in this case it was there and we want to take it away from him. Maybe she's not ruhiya to take them. I don't know. Anyway, bottom line is, we didn't pass him one way or the other. The halacha is that it actually would depend. If she had been tafsa like the first version of the case was, so then we won't take it away from her. But if she had not been tafsa like the second case, then we wouldn't give it to her. And furthermore, we wait for 12 months before we give her a get under these circumstances. So that means we will not give you, the husband, a right to divorce her without paying a ksuva. You have to wait at least 12 months to see whether things can work out. And maybe things will be possibly, you know, will be okay. And that maybe that's the pshat that we don't force, meaning we don't force immediately. But we're not going to make her wait longer, Rashi says, than 12 months for a get. And during that time, Bahana Tresa Yarkishata, where we're trying to work with the family services and so on, let la mizoni mibal, because of the fact that she's a moreta. So she also does not get mizonot. Omar Revtuvi Barkisna Omar Shmuel Kotvimi Gerid Merid al Arusa. In the event that an Arusa refuses to marry, so we will write this Igeret, which is what we do, is that we actually give a shtar in the Besdin, or a psak in the Besdin, that depending on who it is that's being the Mored or Moredet, that allows the deduction or the addition, as the case may be, to the Ksuva based on the Merida of him or of her. So it says over here that what Shmuel Paskin supposedly was that we will write an Igeret Merit on an Arusa who refuses to come, or he refuses to take, but ain kotvim Igeret Merit al Shomeret Yavam. So if someone, he or her, refuse the Yibam, then we do not write the Igeret Merit to change the value of the Ksuvah. But wait a minute. We just had before, in the beginning of the Daf, the Braita that said, Achat li arusa unusua, afilu nida, afilu chula. Look at the last words, afilu shomeret yavam. And there it says, even if it's a shomeret yavam, she is considered to be a moredet, or he is considered to be a moredet, and it's included in the sol halacha of increasing or decreasing the ksuv, as the case may be. So how do you explain it? That's not a problem. Kan shetavahu, who is saying over here that the Yavam is saying, I want to do the Yibam. And there, in what Shmuel was talking about, where she was saying, I want you to do Yibam. And why is there a difference? So what it says is that Shmuel means, we won't write any Igeret Merit because he refuses to perform. And therefore, when does it say it means not al, but about, in other words, based on the tvi'ah. So we will write for an arusa, but not for the same woman who is suing the yavam. Because since Rav Tachlifa Bar Avime said that Shmuel Paskin, that if the yavam, he wants that she should be his, we'll see about whether we're talking about Yibam or Chalitza, Niskakin lo, so then the Beis Din is going to get involved to get her to respond. But Tav Ahi, ain't Niskakin lo. She wants action. They are not going to increase the Ketuvah. We're going to see why that would be true. So B'mayu Kim De La De Shmuel, but first, what did you understand here? That when Shmuel Paskin, that we write for an arusa, but not for Shomeret Yavam. You said it's talking about where she is insisting, she goes to court, and she's insisting that he, the man, the Yavam, should do what he's got to do. So, but then that doesn't work out because Kotvimi Geret Mered ala arusa is not ala arusa, it's le arusa. Because now you're saying it's to her. She's the one that is not against her, which is what the Lashon al arusa, then le arusa means to her, for her tviyah. That's what he should have said. Okay, fine, so change it to read that way. That doesn't bother me. Alokasha, tni le arusa. Okay, so now can you explain to me why a shomeret yavam over there, we won't write out this shtar. Why not? Apparently, the only reason why not is because we can say to her, listen, he's not performing. So what do you care? You don't have any chiyuv to have children. There's no din of piri of arivia on you. So why isn't that true if an arusa says, he's not taking me to the chuppah? We should say to the same thing. I understand what the difference is of a shomeret yavam and an arusa. If you think that that's an excuse, that you don't have to respond to a woman who wants to go to the chuppah, so then it should be the same thing. You don't need to respond to a woman who wants to get yibam. I don't understand. We could say to her too, zil lo mafkada. But obviously, like we said in Yavamas, we're talking about not where she's saying, what am I going to do about my mitzvah? What's that to do with a mitzvah? A woman wants children. It's nothing to do with a mitzvah. So if she comes along and she ba machmat ta'ana, she says something which is 100% reasonable and acceptable on any human level, the amra be'ina chutra liyado umara lekfura, I understand, you want me to go through life without children, so then I become old, I don't even have somebody that cares about me, holds me up, supports me, or I die, that's going to be worried about me to bury me, and I should just be a homeless person and have nothing. Are you crazy? Okay, so if she says that, obviously we're going to respond. So then that must be the case over here of the Shomeret Yavam. So it's the same thing. So why would we not force him to act? Why would we not write an Igeret Merit for her tviyah? So it can't be because of Piri of Arivia. That's ridiculous. Ela Ide Ide, both cases, Shmuel's case, the Brisa's case, are both talking about where he was the one who said, I want you to be available. That's talking about she says no, not he says no. And Velokasha, there's no problem about why Shmuel would say that we will not write on Minigeret Merit against the Avama. And the Brisa says we certainly will, because there's two situations. What is he asking for? Kan la chalotz, if she refused to do chalitza, so then we will put on pressure. Masha Einkein, Shmuel was talking about where he said we will not put on pressure. That's talking about where he wants to be miyabim her. And Rav Pipa Das said, as Rav Yochanan Paskin, Tavala chalotz, if a Yavam wants her to come and do the chalitza, yes, then we're going to get involved. And we're going to issue this ksav against her and so on if she refuses to do it. But if he says, I want to do yibum, then tavali yabim, enis kakinlo, we do not do that. Because as we'll see, the Gemara always prefers to do chalitza and not yibum. Even though we had the Mishnah that says the mitzvah is yibum more than the chalitza. But that was only at a time, remember, when people would have kavana for the right kavana to do yibum. But yibum is a delicate situation, and as Abishol writes, it's a karav beinai, that it's like the children are mamzerim if he has the wrong kavanas and so on. We don't do that anymore. So maishna liyabim delo. Wait a minute. Before we understand that, we said, I mean, why would we not do yibum? Because we say to him, what do you need to do yibum for? Go find yourself another wife. So, I mean, we could say the same thing about chalitza, can't we? I mean, you can marry another wife. So we should say to him, go marry somebody else. That's the point. Must be that we're going to do it because he says, nobody wants to go out with me. They know that there's a Yavama that I'm supposed to be taken care of. And I'm not able to take care of her. And they say, what are you, crazy? I'm going to go out with a guy who tomorrow may end up getting involved with this Yavama. So that's a good taina. So then it would be the same thing in Shmuel's case. If she refuses, he could say the same thing. Well, listen, I mean, nobody's going to give me a woman to go out with. So why won't we do that? Ella, the point is both cases are talking about exactly the same case. The Braita was talking about a Shomeret Yavam where he is demanding the Yibum. And Shmuel is talking about where he is demanding Yibum. And there's no stira at all. Because in the Braita, where we say that we will actually start deducting a Ksuva, that was going according to the Mishnah Rishena that we had back in Yavamas, that it used to be that we wanted people, Bedafka, to be Mekayim Yibum, better than Chalitza, Mitzvah be Yibum and not Bechalitza. Whereas here, when Shmuel passed it, by that time we already had the Mishnah Achreina, and the Mishnah Achreina made it very clear that even though mitzvah yibum kodemet le mitzvah chalitza, that was only berishona, when people used to be mitkaven l'shem mitzvah. Achshav she'in mitkavenim l'shem mitzvah, then the papsak is mitzvah chalitza is kodemet le mitzvah yibum. Which makes perfectly good sense now. Why Shmuel would paskin against the bride? The bride was going like the Mishnah Rishena, and Shmuel was going the halacha like the Mishnah Achreina. Whew. Okay. Anyway, we got a lot of tremendously, unfortunately, contemporary issues involved, even binogea how much time you're sleeping. But now I want to point out that this is a very serious point, which people do not take seriously. People pick and choose what they're doing l'shem shamayim. So they decide, okay, I need my sleep in order to learn better, right? Okay, so that they're going to do l'shem shamayim. Then they wake up and they eat breakfast and they eat a donut. Why do they eat the donut? Because what they're saying is, when it comes to food, then I don't do things l'shem shamayim, right? Now, l'maisa, the Rambam puts all of these inyanim together. They're all part of b'chol drachecha de'ehu. So in all of your paths, whether they're towards taking better care of yourself or wanting to be more of a shamayim by depriving yourself, but you have to have a consistency. You can't say, you know, okay, I need my sleep to be able to learn better, but I could still become a fat slob and eat sugar all day long and destroy my health because that I don't care about. So you can't pick and choose the issue where you're going to be, I'm only Ovid Hashem with my sleep. Right. I'm not Ovid Hashem with my eating or anything else. I mean, that makes no sense. So therefore, I mean, the Kool-Aid acid test, if you want to talk about sugar, is exactly this issue. In other words, are you real or are you fooling yourself? So if you're real, then you have to note an honest consistency in your behavior. You can't say, okay, some of the things that are motzina sa adam in a'ilam, you know, so kina I, that I'm akbina, not to be jealous of anybody. But COVID and taiva, that's something else over there. I don't mind being locked out of the world, you know. That's also, that's not the derech. If the person is mekabel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yisurin, to teach him not to be mekane, and to teach him not to be searching for COVID, then he has to be mekabel exactly the same type of yisurin, chas v'shalom, he gets sick or whatever. That's the same lesson. He can't be a mensch when it comes to, okay, maybe I, you know, maybe I had the wrong thoughts and I was thinking about my own COVID, you know, but, well, of course I'm thinking about my own taiva when I'm eating donuts, you know, but that's okay. It isn't. It's not okay. So the Aveda of Hashem, I understand there's different targets, but you can't just arbitrarily pick and choose and then expect to be, I'm boter b'Hashem in this, but I can't be boter b'Hashem in that because I really don't care about that. I mean, this is just awful. And it's amazing how inconsistent people can be. All of us, obviously. People, well, I should say people, how inconsistent we are in these kind of inyanim. And then you lose entire track of yourself because you realize that, you know, okay, yes, I'm doing this, but this is also a good thing, like the Taz says, you know. But as I say, there are Kool-Aid acid tests of honesty. Okay, Rabbi Sai, important to take into consideration. Meanwhile, I wish you all a wonderful day, Besuras Teves, and deeper honesty in our paths towards Tshuva and towards Rosh Hashanah. Kol Tov. Wonderful to be with you.